John chapter 3 today. Let's look beginning in verse number 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Shall we pray together? Heavenly Father, as we approach the Word, we pray that Jesus Christ would be exalted. We pray that the Holy Spirit would have liberty in every heart. And Lord, we ask that if there's even one in the service today that is uncertain of their eternal destiny, that today would be the day of salvation for them. Lord, we give every part of this message to You. Hide me behind the cross of Calvary, for You said that if You be lifted up, You would draw all men unto Yourself. And so, Lord, we claim that promise from Your Word today. And we pray and ask these things in the wonderful name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Today, I want to bring a message titled, What You Don't Know Can Hurt You. You know, we have crickets at our house. I don't know if you ever get crickets at your house, but we have crickets at our house. And whenever we see a cricket, Linda kind of goes into a little bit of a panic. She just doesn't like bugs. Now, is anybody a bug hater like that? We have lots of people like that. And I guess somewhere along the line, Linda was told that there are bugs that could hurt her. And maybe they would bite her. And these were bad bugs. And so, what we have learned to do is, whenever we see a bug on the ground, we say, "Hey, Timothy, there's a bug on the ground." And so, Timothy, he'll go over and he'll pick up the crickets and he'll bring them over and hand them to us. He's learned, don't hand them to Mommy because she goes into a panic attack and starts hyperventilating. But, you know, Timothy's not even 2 yet. He's like 22 months old, and he thinks it's kind of neat to chase bugs around and pick them up. And so we see a cricket there. And, you know, nobody's ever taught Timothy at the ripe old age of 22 months that bugs might bite you and be harmful to you. So I guess, you know, we just think what he doesn't know can't hurt him, because we're scared to death to touch him. I'm not touching those things. Nasty bugs might bite you, give you some disease or something. So let the kid, he doesn't know any better. What he don't know won't hurt him, but it might hurt me. You know what I found out today, and that is that there are a lot of people going throughout their lives thinking that ignorance is bliss. I tried to pull that the other day driving down the road. And I was driving along minding my own business, rejoicing in the Lord, as I always do driving down the road. Shut up. Oh, I'm sorry. I said the S word right out loud in church. But, I was driving down the road and I was minding my own business, and I looked in the rearview mirror, and lo and behold, I saw an emergency vehicle approaching. And I knew that what I'm supposed to do in that situation is pull over to as far to the right as I can and let them pass. And so I pulled over as far to the right as I could, but they didn't pass me. In fact, they parked behind me. Now, the officer got out of his car and came up and said, "Sir, do you know what the posted speed limit is here?" And I said, "No, I really don't." And he said, "Well, you were exceeding the posted speed limit." And I said, "But I didn't know what it was. So can I go now?" I didn't know it. Honestly, I didn't know. And he said, "You can't plead ignorance. If you think you didn't know it, tell it to the judge, but I'm going to give you a ticket." Can I tell you something? I'm not going to stand before Judge Ito one day. I'm going to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and ignorance will be no plea for why I have not obeyed His word. And there are many people that today are going throughout their life thinking that if I'm just ignorant of what the Bible says, I'm not going to be responsible for anything that is written in it. And I will tell you this, that what you don't know can hurt you. And so the Word of God was given to dispel the ignorance from our hearts, that which we do not know, so that we can know. And as we study the Word of God, we discover that darkness and ignorance go hand in hand in the Scripture. In fact, the Jews were considered to be ignorant, particularly the Pharisees, of who Jesus was. And they were called blind leaders of the blind. Paul was given a commission to turn those sitting in darkness unto light, to see that they are translated from the kingdom of darkness unto the kingdom of His dear Son, which is the kingdom of light. To take them out of the realms of ignorance and fear that reside in darkness, and to cast the light of the Word of God. When I met Linda for the first time, some early point in our relationship, asked her what some of her favorite verses in the Bible were. And I'll never forget, she said, one of my very favorite verses is found in the book of Psalms. It's Psalm 119, verse 105. How many of you know what that is? All right. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so the Word of God dispels the ignorance about which way do we go. What do we do? And so if you have a Bible today, I want to encourage you to open it up and allow its light to be cast in your life so that you can see its truth clearly, because I want you to know your ignorance of this book will be no plea. And so what you don't know can hurt you. The Bible says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They wanted to stay in their lack of understanding. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. You know, when we are walking in His light and determined to follow His truth, it's no problem for us just to come right to the truth, is it? For us to come right to that which is the source of light. It's interesting that one of the works of the Holy Spirit is the work of illumination. That means He casts light in our minds so that we may have understanding of the truth of the Word of God. Today, we as believers believe in the inspiration of the Scripture, that holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God. The Bible tells us as well in 1 Timothy chapter 3 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So there the testimony of the Word of God is that it is divinely inspired. In 1 Peter chapter 1, holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, and they gave us the Word of God. The Bible tells us all of it is inspired in Romans chapter 15 and verse number 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Certainly all of the Bible is inspired. We believe today that God has not only promised that the Word of God is inspired, but He's promised that He would preserve His Word. Many times in the Word of God, we read this, that heaven and earth may pass away, but My Word shall never pass away. He said, not one jot, that's the dot of an I, or a tittle, that crossing of a T, shall pass away till it all be fulfilled, and that heaven and earth may pass away, but My Word will never pass away. You see, the Lord has given a promise that He would preserve His Word for the generations to come. And I want to tell you, the one that created all that is, that carved out that Grand Canyon, that talk the seas, call the seas and the stars into existence has no problem with preserving His book. Amen? Some people are skeptical and some people always want to look on the dark side of things. But if you come to the light and just take God's word for it, you know that what He said He will do. And God doesn't even have to break sweat to keep the promise to preserve the word that He delivered to man. So we believe that we believe in inspiration. We believe in preservation. We believe in illumination. And that is that God has said that He will give us understanding concerning the Scriptures. And in the book of John, when the promise of the Holy Spirit was given to us, one of the ministries that He would perform would be to guide us into the truth. In other words, He's that great illuminator who helps us to have the lights come on and understand the truth, so that at no point, having gone to the Word of God with an earnest, fervent heart, seeking the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, will we be confounded about how we should live. Certainly, we believe in the illumination of the Spirit of God based on the reading of the Word of God with a desire for understanding. I want us to see in our message today, first of all, the light of God. Now, the Bible says that men love darkness rather than light. And that is true in our society today. Perhaps you tuned into the news and saw where that the Supreme Court upheld a decision to allow a congresswoman to be sworn in with her hand on the Quran rather than the Bible, because it was a violation of the First Amendment to make her swear in on the Bible. The truth is that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Perhaps you saw on the news or listened to on Sean Hannity and heard where that there's proposed legislation in the state of California to make it a misdemeanor to spank your child under the age of 5, even with your hand, when they misbehave, and punishable by possible prison time. And the reason for that is not because people love children so much. It's because they hate the light of God. Because God's Word says that foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction driving it far from him. You know, you used to hear your grandma say, spare the rod and spoil the child. Guess where that came from? Came out of the Bible. And people don't want to go to the Word of God and do what it says. In fact, they hate it. So what they want to do is legislate it out of the public view. Why? Because we live in a day where we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness. Those that think, if I'm ignorant about what the Bible says and what it really means, then I can go about doing whatever I think is best, and my ideals and values become my truth. The rulers of darkness against spiritual wickedness in high places. It is a rejection of the Word of God. And so as we consider the light of God, let's flip back a page or two in our Bibles to chapter 1 of John and see that the Bible has something very expressly to say about this subject that we're dealing with this morning. Verse 1 of chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. Now, how many of you in your Bible, the word Word is capitalized? Let me see your hand. Raise it up big and high. The word Word is capitalized. All right, that's everyone that's here today would say that the word Word in John 1:1 in your Bible is capitalized. Now, the reason why the word Word is capitalized in your Bible is because it is a proper name. Now, someone tell me this morning whose name it is. It's the name of God, the name of Jesus Christ, and that's going to be expounded on here. So whenever you see the word Word capitalized, understand it's talking about the revelation of the written Word, the personification of the written Word, who is Jesus. As we see this today, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There's no article following was in the Greek in any manuscript that's honest. I don't care what Charles Taze Russell may have said a generation ago and what the New World Translation of the Scriptures may say that denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not a God. He is God. And that's the beginning and the end of it. And in this verse of Scripture, we find so much rich truth and doctrine apart from which there is no salvation. First of all, let me say in the beginning, and that talks to us about the eternality of our God. Jesus did not find His origins in a manger in Bethlehem. He is eternally pre-existent. No one created God. He just always was. And the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that He is that He that was and is to come. You know what that means? He is eternal, no beginning and no end. Praise the Lord. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. So the life of Jesus Christ is our light. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Jesus has said in John chapter 8 and verse number 12, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. So, look, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. All right, the light of their confused, fearful ignorance was lightened by the life of Jesus Christ. It shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. They saw it. What in the world is this? And rather than trying to discover, they rejected it. Why? We're going to see it in a moment. The Bible talks about, in verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, capital L, it's a proper name of Jesus, that all men through Him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, there are a lot of people that say, what about those people in deepest, darkest Africa that have never heard the Word of God? The Bible tells me that Jesus is the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Would that include those people? Yes or no? And if you read carefully Psalm chapter 19, what you discover in a careful reading there is that God has given those people a witness through His creative handiwork. And as they begin to search for God, God will honor that search with truth and light. For the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6 that he that cometh to God must believe that He is. So when I believe that God exists and I want to know Him, the Bible says, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. As I begin to understand that there is a Creator that is greater than the cosmos, that brought all of this into order and existence, and as I seek to know Him, God will honor that search and that desire with truth, which is light. He will dispel the darkness from your heart and mind. So, that encompasses everyone. He's the light that lighteth every man. You mean the Muslims? Yes, the Muslims. You mean the Buddhists? Yes, the Buddhists. You mean the Confucius? Yes. You mean the animist? Yes. You mean the pagan? Yes. You mean the Satanist? Yes. That lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So, Jesus was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, in the beginning was the what? Word. So we find two proper names of God, Jesus, in the very early portions of John chapter 1. Those two proper names of Jesus are Word, capital W, and Light, capital L. They are at times in the Bible used interchangeably. Do you know why? Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Word is light. Truth and light are also used interchangeably in the Word of God. Hold your thumb in John chapter 3 and go to Ephesians chapter 5 if you would for just a moment. Are we having fun yet? Is it too warm in here? Yes, it is. Okay. That's a consensus vote. And so we can't have anybody going to sleep. But I promise you, if you're tired, I'll wake you up in just a minute. All right. Are we there yet in Ephesians chapter 5? I don't want people that are dialing in on sermonaudio.com to hear a collective snore in the congregation today. All right. Are we there yet? Ephesians chapter 5. Let's look at this in verse number 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of what?
Darkness.
That's the ignorant world that doesn't know the truth, that thinks what they don't know can't hurt them. All right. Have no fellowship with them. Verse 12. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the what? The light. And whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So that which makes manifest dispels the darkness. Now, what dispels the darkness is what? The light of God. The light of God. He came to dispel darkness. You remember that the Bible tells us here that that which doth make manifest is light, and that people don't come to the light because they don't want their deeds to be made manifest. But those that do the truth come to the light that their deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. So the person that is in their ignorance and in darkness doesn't come to the light because that which doth make manifest is light. The light of the glory of God upon the life of a person will reveal many things, and it is a very disconcerting thing. You recall in Isaiah chapter 6, as Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, do you remember what he said? When he saw the Lord in all His glory, the Shekinah glory of God and the light of it on His life, he said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." And what God manifested to him was something that he really didn't want to have to see. But most people, because they don't want the light of God shining on their life, won't come to the light because they don't want to have to see the shortcomings, the inadequacies, and the sins that have separated them from a holy God. And they're going through their life with the false assumption that what they don't know can't hurt them. Now, if I saw a scorpion scurrying across the floor of my house, and I thought, you know, that looks a lot like a cricket. And I said, "Hey, Timothy, a bug." And I said, what he doesn't know can't hurt him. And he went over and picked up that scorpion. You think it would hurt him? Sure. So we've just proven the fact that what you don't know can hurt you. The light of God wants to dispel the darkness from your life to help you see that which you have not chosen to know because it's uncomfortable can be eternally hurtful to you. So we see the light of God. Jesus said in John 8, "I am the light of the world." And when the glory of God shines upon the life, we come to one conclusion. John chapter 3, or Romans chapter 3. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The sin and darkness is exposed by the light of God. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 1, and if you want to turn there, you may, but 1 John chapter 1, it says this in verse number 5. "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light," what's that? The light of God. "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth us from all sin." When you come to the Lord and you receive, the Bible says, "The entrance of Thy Word giveth light." And we're going to see the next point here in just a minute. But when we receive the light of God and we allow Christ to be our Savior and receive the forgiveness of sins that He brings, then we are placed in Him and Him in us, And we are then in the light of God. He has translated us from the kingdom of darkness, Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12, into the kingdom of His dear Son, which is the kingdom of love and light. So I'm then in the light. I now have the ignorance dispelled, and as I continue to go to the Word of God to have things manifest, I understand what God is trying to do by directing me with the light. Secondly, would you see with me the light of the gospel? The light of the gospel, which we might say could be used interchangeably with the light of God, because really they're one and the same, but the Bible gives us different instances where that we see the light of God and we also see the light of the gospel. The light of the gospel. If you have your Bible there handy, and everyone should this morning, if ever, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Are we having fun yet?
Amen.
Is it cooling off a little bit?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I like the sound of turning pages. It's the Spirit moving in the church. Page 1232, if you have an old Scofield Bible, look with me at verse number 3, would you please? But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. In other words, they're in darkness. True or false? Okay. Hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, what is the opposite of ignorance? Knowledge. So, the Lord caused the light to shine out of the darkness to give us knowledge. In other words, to remove our ignorance and to take away the false assumption that what you don't know can't hurt you. And so He shined the light of the gospel on our life so that we could have the knowledge of how we might be saved. The light of the gospel. The gospel is the good news. The word gospel literally means good news. And you know, we could sum up the gospel in a word, and that word is Jesus. That word is Jesus. The gospel of Jesus. We don't preach to you a name it, claim it doctrine today. We don't preach to you, look at how the preacher's doing it and try to emulate that. We don't preach to you today a creed of men. We don't preach to you today a dogma of hierarchical clergymen, but we preach Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. Paul said, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, as Jesus said, for Jesus' sake. You know what I am today? I'm just a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as such, I'm your servant. And I don't have anything to say. All I can do is tell you what God has said. That's it. That's my responsibility. Give you the light of the gospel. And if I choose not to do that, guess what? Then my gospel is hidden from you, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto you, and you should believe it. So I have a responsibility to shine the light of the gospel upon a gainsaying world that is hidden in ignorance and darkness, so that they may have the light of the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 1 in verse number 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was wrought in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of Christ Jesus our Savior, who hath abolished life and abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So we see the light of the gospel that turns the lights on to dispel the ignorance about what happens in this life and in the life which is to come. And the light of the gospel can dispel all of the darkness about what happens after I take my last breath. There are many people that are gripped with fear in their hearts because of misunderstanding and because of a lack of understanding. But Jesus came to bring life and immortality to light through the gospel. The light of the gospel is the light of God, and it dispels the ignorance so that we can know. Now, I inevitably will talk to people that will say, Pastor, I don't think you can really know, and it's the height of ignorance to think that one person knows they're going to heaven and someone else doesn't. It's the height of arrogancy to say that you know you're going and someone else isn't going to go. No, I don't call that arrogancy. I call it love. You know why? I love my children so much, I don't want them to have to wonder if they have a place in my heart and in my home. And you love your kids so much, you don't want them to wonder if they have a place in your heart or in your home. And if we, being evil, give good gifts to our children, the Bible says in Hebrews 12, how much more will a loving Heavenly Father want to give you the gift of knowing? And that's why it says in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. God wants you to know it, and He will dispel the darkness of ignorance with the light of the gospel. And that light tells us that Jesus is the only way of salvation. Years ago, I was living in Texas, in the Dallas area. And I don't know why people call that the promised land. I never figured that it was too much, you know. I moved there in one of the longest hot spells in Texas history, where it never got under 100 degrees for 21 days in a row. And it's not like here. You know, here we have a dry heat. There it's a wet heat. And man, it's bad. I mean, I thought I was dropped down in the middle of the jungle in Vietnam or something in the hot season or the hot rainy season. It was bad. I mean, you got out of the shower, you never got dry. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You live down in Georgia, Texas, something like that. And I was serving in a church down there, and I just thought, why do people talk about Texas like it's the promised land? What do they have except oil? You know, I mean, you know, I was coming from California, living by the ocean, you know, sea breeze every night. In the middle of the summer, it's, you know, 65 degrees at night, you know, and sometimes less than that. I'm just thinking, I can't figure this out, but I'm working in this church and working hard. I'm working a secular job, helping get a church started. You know, we'd had a long summer, long hot summer, and it was still pretty warm, and a family member that lived in East Texas said, why don't you, on the Labor Day weekend, drive out, and we'll spend some time together and have a good time. I thought, that sounds like a great thing to do, take a break. So I got in the car on Labor Day weekend, because I had a long weekend, and drove out to East Texas to a farm. And we were there with some family. And my sister-in-law had this great idea. We have some friends that live out in the country further, and they have a ranch there, and we could go out there and have a barbecue with them on Labor Day. And I thought, well, you know, okay, you know, why not? So we go out there, and it's 110 degrees in the shade. Okay, we got to their house, we got out, and they were like 20 miles off the paved highway. I mean, it was way out in the sticks. And I'm not just some little city slicker. I've seen a few episodes of Bonanza. So, you know, I was a little prepared for this thing. I go out there, and we're like 20 miles off the paved road. And, you know, I look out, and, you know, here's the windmill, and it's standing still. That was an indicator of how the rest of the day was going to go. And, you know, it's 110 degrees in the shade. You could cut the air with a knife. It was so thick. And I looked on their patio after I walked across the, you know, the dust bowl. I'm thinking, is this the grapes of wrath or whatever? You know, I mean, here's a big dust bowl. And they're kicking up dust as they're walking across the driveway. And it's like sticking to me. And so we go out to the back patio. We're going to sit and have some iced tea, you know. And I'm thinking, oh, boy, last thing in the world I want to do is sit outside anywhere today. I want to sit inside. But, you know, they didn't have regular AC in the house. They had a swamp cooler. And I got to tell you something. It wasn't doing a blessed thing. It was just making matters worse. So we're sitting out on the back patio having some iced tea and enjoying that good old wide old outdoors. You know, I'm thinking, this is nuts. This is absolutely ridiculous. And we're sitting there drinking some iced tea, and, you know, the ice is gone just like that. And it was warm tea after just a minute. And I looked up and saw the thermometer that they had on the back patio. It was 110 degrees in the shade. So we're sitting around and thinking, well, you know, okay, what are we going to do next? We could sit here and, you know, watch Bubba sweat, and that would be fun. But, you know, I'd like to do something a little more than that. I've driven a long way. So they said, here's a great idea. Why don't we go horseback riding? Which really didn't make any sense at all to me, because I thought, well, you know, here we are doing nothing, sitting here watching Bubba sweat and drinking warm tea on the porch. So now let's go out and find a 500 or 600 or 700 pound animal and make them sweat a lot. Thought we did, and they got all the horses saddled up and everything, and my brother-in-law was out there helping this guy, and as they were bringing the horses out, the guy's like, I want to introduce you to my son. I'm like, okay, and my kids, and I said, you know, my name's Mark Chappell. He said, well, my name's D.W. And I thought to myself, you know, what is it with these people in Texas? They can't spell, so they just pick like letters out of the alphabet that they like the most, and you know, my name is, you know, PT or PP, you know, I'm DW. I'm literally at this moment thinking, is this like the Twilight Zone? Me, 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 me. You know, and then, you know, here comes a little boy pulling a horse up, you know, dust everywhere. And, you know, he's got little shorts on, cowboy boots, you know, no shirt, and just kind of tropping through, getting all muddy and dirty and yicky. And he said, this is my boy Booger. And I'm like, is that Booger with a U or a double O? Don't matter. His name is Booger. I'm like, okay, DW, old buddy. Thanks, Booger. And we're going to go out horseback riding. I thought, well, maybe if we are moving on the back of a horse, maybe that would create a little breeze, give us a little break. That would be a great thing. So, you know, they're kind of smiling as they're bringing the horses out and getting everybody all saddled up. And my brother-in-law brings this animal over to me and says, we're going to have you ride the mule. I should have known better, man. I should have just decided to stay in and watch Bubba sweat. But, you know, I wanted to go in for the fun. So, you know, they're going to put me on the mule. What they failed to tell me when they gave me the mule is that that mule had never been ridden. But, you know, I'm not going to be outdone, little city slicker. You know, I've watched the Big Valley. And so I think, you know, I can do this. I can ride a horse. So, you know, give me that horse, you know. And you try to pull one over on me, you know, I'll probably outrun you all to the pasture. And, you know, I get on that horse, and it just won't go anywhere that I want it to go. And I'm kicking and reining and, you know, and smacking. And then I get off and I break off a switch and I'm hitting. And that thing is just obstinate. And they're going along, and now it's 110 degrees in the shade. Now I'm really sweating. I've lost a lot of water weight by now, no doubt. And they put me at the end of the line because I had the mule. So now here's six horses in front of me kicking up dirt on the trail. And now I have little crow's feet because I have mud caked all over my face. And I thought to myself, we're having some fun now. And that mule was trying to brush me off on every tree. Can you believe that? And I'm kicking and spurring and yelling and spitting and whipping, and it's doing its own thing, you know. But I'm not going to let them know that I'm frustrated, because, you know, I'm not this dumb little city slicker. I've seen Bonanza before, and I can ride a horse, and I was born in Cortez, Colorado. Teach you to give me a mule. And so then I look ahead and I see a big clearing, and there's a clearing through some trees, and it's going into a mowed open field. And I thought, this is great. Maybe we can run across the field. I'll catch a little break. And so all these horses came up to the clearing, and I noticed that they were about 20 or 30 yards ahead of me. And as they came to the clearing, they all just kind of scooted really fast through that clearing. And there was some mowed grass in the mouth of that clearing. And as I got closer to it, I heard something going. And as I got a little closer to the clearing, I saw that there was a whole cloud of bumblebees that had been stirred up in the grass. And so I'm with my mule. I'm whipping and spurring and reining and trying to get that thing going. And so everybody's going through that little clearing except me. And when I got to the clearing, I was enveloped in a cloud of bumblebees. And so they were stinging me and they were stinging that mule, and that mule's going, ah, and I'm going, and I'm hanging on for you. I'm listening. I'm looking for the rodeo clowns to come and rescue me. I'm waiting for the buzzer to go off. I'm taking the 8 count, you know. I'm whipping and spurring, and the thing's, and all of a sudden the saddle begins to go to the side, and I'm trying to get it right, and it won't get right, and it bucks me off right on that bumblebee's nest in that grass. And the second I hit the ground, I was up and running, and I was running across, and then I fell down in the grass, and I'm rolling around, and I'm swatting those bees, and everything, and by the time I composed myself, I looked up and everybody was on the other side of the pasture on their horses, and they were about to fall off with laughter. They were laughing. I said, "Do you think this is funny? You people are sick. This is not funny. I'm hurt here." And that mule was long gone into the woods, and I'm just mad, and I'm storming across here. I've been stung all over the place by bumblebees, and it's 110 degrees in the shade. And I'd rather watch Bubba sweat and sit on the patio than be anywhere in the world right at that moment. And I got to tell you something. I was upset. Well, they saw somebody passing by in a pickup truck, and they waved them down. And they put me in the pickup truck, and I'm taken to the house. And there is T.T. and D.W. and Booger and Bubba and everybody else. And I'm waiting for the chainsaws to come out, you know. I'm thinking, this is wild now. And I don't feel very good. And they said, well, you've been stung a lot of times by bees. Maybe what you should do is go in and take a shower. And I thought, you know, that's the best idea I've heard all day long. I'm covered in grass, mud, dirt, sweating like crazy, didn't feel good, been stung all over. So I go into the house and I take a shower, and it felt kind of good. And I came out and they said, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to barbecue. And I'm thinking, you know, what harebrained, lame-brained person has the idea on a 110-degree day in the shade to go out and create more heat? So they fired up the coals, you know, and going to make hamburgers, you know, and I'm out there, and, you know, here's DW, and he's sweating all over the grill, you know. It's like, and he's, you know, what do you like on your, you know, sweat's fine, don't worry about it, you know. Easy on the salt, you're sweating enough on my burger as it is, you know. And so we're there on the back patio, and we're going to have a barbecue, and so we decide we're gonna eat, and it starts to get a little bit dark, and we're eating and having watermelon out there in the watermelon capital of the world, and after I ate, you know, I started feeling kind of sick. I mean, I just didn't feel good at all. And darkness was falling, and as darkness began to fall, as many of you have been in East Texas know, thunderstorms are a common event at that time of the year. And so now it's all the way down to 108 degrees, and we've already eaten, and I hear, and lo and behold, all the electricity in the house goes out. And we are sitting by the light of the embers from the grill. So D.W. went in, and of course we had the mosquito coils going, you know, because out there they're bigger than horse flies, and, you know, they're just sucking us all over the place and sucking the lifeblood out of us. And so he lights some lanterns and brings them out, and I'm getting so sick because I've been stung by these bees so bad, I think I'm going to die. I slide off the chair I'm sitting on. I lay down on the brick patio out there in East Texas, and I'm just groaning. I think, oh. And I'm thinking, I'm going to throw up all over the feet of D.W. and Booger unless I do something here. And so I thought, I've got to get away from here. I'm going to really embarrass myself and everybody that knows me. And so I started crawling on all fours. And I crawled about 20 yards off of the patio into some grass. And I'm laying there, and just all of a sudden, and man, it just came. And, you know, all that hamburger, then all of the watermelon, all the tea and everything, the potato salad. And I mean, I'm just laying there, and I'm thinking, I'm going to die. You know, just come out and shoot me right now. It's all over, you know. And as I'm laying there in the grass, taking inventory of my life and confessing my sins, I hear something in the near distance.
And it's like getting closer. And I'm thinking, you know, this is not my day. If I lay here, I'm dead. If I move, I'm dead. Either way, I'm just dead. And here's a snake, and it's in the darkness, and I can't see which direction it's coming from. And with all the strength that was left in me, I hurled myself onto the patio, and I said, "Snake!" And they're like, "Where?" I'm like, "I don't know where. All I knew, I wanted to be there with the mosquito coils, and I wanted to be in DW's lap, and by the light of the barbecue grill, so I could see anything. At that point, I decided I loved light rather than darkness. And I was laying out there in the grass, and when I was laying there, you know, I got to tell you something. What I didn't know was out there could hurt me. And they turned on the pickup, and they found about a 3.5-foot rattlesnake out in the grass. And I want to tell you something. Some of you are laying out in the grass thinking that ignorance is bliss. And the light of the gospel has come to save you from that which can harm you. And you're thinking that if I don't know it, I'm not going to be accountable for it. And the truth is that you will. And Jesus came to shine the light of the glorious gospel unto you, so that you could know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're saved. The last thing I tell you is this, the light of grace, the light of grace. And if you have your Bible, turn quickly and we'll end pretty soon. I took too much time talking about D.W. and Booger, and I know that, but that's okay. It's a bad day outside, and we may as well be inside enjoying this. But turn to Romans chapter number 10, would you, for just a moment. And I got to tell you, I really like a lot of places in Texas. If you're from Texas, don't beat me up after the service. I told that story one time and somebody said, "You know, I was born and reared in Texas." And I'm like, "Man, you know, it really is the promised land." I'm just kidding. Romans chapter 10. Are you there yet? Okay, now this last point, so take heart. We're almost done. Last point. Verse 1. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to what?" So, if they didn't have knowledge, guess what they were? Ignorant. That meant they were in darkness. Right? True or false? Okay, you got to help me or we won't get done. All right. "So I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being," what's the next word? "Ignorant of God's righteousness." That means they're in the dark and going about to establish their own righteousness, "have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." See, they didn't understand that the Lord is going to end the demands of the law upon them if they would just believe Him. He would give them His righteousness. They wouldn't have to establish their own. "For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart." That is the word of faith which we preach. Do you know what would dispel the ignorance in the hearts of the Jew? The same thing that dispels the ignorance from the heart of the Gentile. And that is the word. And the light of grace is that God has come to offer you that which you could never establish on your own. That is righteousness. And we, through ignorance in our religion and self-effort, think that we can. But the light of the gospel and the light of God and the light of grace can shine in our hearts to show us you can't do this. Only God can.
And so the Lord has shined that light, not only for the Jew, but also for the Gentile, as it says in Romans 1. And the Bible wants to open our eyes and to turn us from darkness to light, the Bible says in Acts 26. The light of grace today is shining on you and everyone that cometh into the world. And I want to say this, that you can either take and accept the light and the understanding that comes with that light, or you can say, I love darkness, and run away from it. You have a choice. Years ago, when I was in Bible college, I was working my way through school. And in my first year, I worked in an oil refinery as a pipe fitter's helper and as a roustabout and a common laborer. And the money was great. The work was hard. And as an 18-year-old kid, a lot of times I would go out to a job site making $16, $17 an hour. And I thought that was great. And it was a very dangerous job, however, working in those oil refineries. And a lot of times we'd go into places where there'd been explosions and we'd be rebuilding tanks and towers and all manner of things. And we'd be doing general maintenance. And I was on shift one night and working, really doing pipe fitter's work up on a scaffold about 100 feet up in the air, and there was a huge flange on the side of the tank. And I was taking the flange head off, and we were going to steam out the lines that were inside of that tank and clean them to do maintenance on that unit. And they were doing that all around me, steaming lines, cleaning lines, preparing, doing maintenance. And as we were working, I heard the alarm, the emergency alarm go off in the refinery. Lights began to flash. Alarms went off. And a little ways away from me, working on another scaffolding, was a man that was standing on a scaffold. And he was taking the flange head off. And when he did, he got it taken off. And just then, there was a shot of steam that went straight into his face. And when that steam went into his face, it blinded him. And it burned him very severely. And they teach you when you go up onto the scaffold that if something happens, immediately drop to your knees and wait for help. But because he was blinded and now in pain, he was disoriented. And he thought he was going to hold on to the tower. And what he did was he went in the direction that he thought was right in his blindness. And he fell over the railing to his death. And I want to tell you that there are many today that are in darkness. And you're doing what you think you need to do. But the Bible says there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And the only thing that can show you the way that you need to go is the book that I hold in my hand, the Bible, the light of the gospel. Will you receive that light and be saved today? Because your ignorance will be no plea, and what you don't know can hurt you. So have the ignorance dispelled and replaced with knowledge, and know that you have eternal life today. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for this time in your house today. And Lord, I pray that somehow this message will sink deep into the hearts and minds of every person seated in this room today. Lord, use it for your own purpose. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one is looking about today. Perhaps there's one seated in this auditorium and you're thinking, you know, I thought I was doing the right thing, but I'm just not sure. Some darkness in my mind. The Lord wants to dispel the ignorance and give you light through the gospel. And if today you're seated here and you would say, Pastor, I'm not certain that if I died right now, that I would go to heaven to be with the Lord. There's some darkness in my mind about that. I don't know, but I'd like to have the darkness dispelled.
Pastor, would you pray for me today that I might know that heaven is my home forever? You would say, Pastor, I don't want you to embarrass me in any way, but I would appreciate it if you would remember me in prayer. If there's one at all like that person, I wonder if you just slip your hand up where you're